Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Great to be together. And a special welcome to each person who came, each person who's on Zoom, and we welcome you. And Kevin and Wendy, great to have you here for the first time. We hope it's not your last. It's always great to have folks that we haven't seen here before. And I've got wonderful news. It happens every now and then that I announce it. I talked to God this morning, and he's in a good mood today. Isn't that wonderful? Yay, God, yeah. Of course, it's, every time I talk to him, I get that same response. He's in a good mood, so we always enjoy that and appreciate that so much. Well, this is our first Sunday of Advent, even though it's actually the second Sunday of Advent. And so we're going to light an Advent candle. And this year, I think we're going to do it a little differently. We always do it at the beginning of our service after our opening prayer. But this year, I'm going to make it the children's story as well. So the children's story will happen at the beginning of the service instead of in the middle of it. So children, be on time. You usually are, and that's wonderful. So we'll pray, we'll light the Advent candle, and then we'll sing and continue our worship. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you are in a good mood, and you are all the time. You're ever joyful, you're ever loving, you're always kind. The fruit of the Spirit is your character, and we can depend on that every day because you're never changing. You are who you are, and it doesn't matter what happens in the world or in the cosmos or in our individual lives. Nothing catches you by surprise. Nothing is too big for you to handle. And so we thank you that we can come to you and depend on being welcomed and loved and accepted. So as we're here tonight, I pray that our worship will be honoring to you and that, Lord Jesus, you would be honored. And we're so grateful for all that you accomplished on our behalf. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you especially to show us the Father, to just show us his love in ways that maybe we haven't seen it before. So as we worship, may you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Children, let's light an Advent candle. Well, it's a children's story, so you're welcome to come up front like we do for children's stories. Okay, maybe you want to come down toward this end, but that's okay. You're fine where you are. All right, who can tell me what Advent is? Do you remember? Eliza, you want to be one of the children this time? You don't have to come up if you don't want to. But okay. Do you want to answer that question?
Isn't it the countdown till Christmas?
Yeah, countdown to Christmas. Right. It's the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And what's so special about Christmas?
Because it's the birth of Jesus.
Oh, it's not because you get lots of gifts? That's not what makes it special?
No.
It's the birth of Jesus? Oh, thank you for telling me that. I'm so glad that you know, because that truly is what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of Jesus. So Advent is a time of waiting and anticipation. And there's another word for it called hope. We hope Christmas comes. We hope the Messiah will come. And who can tell me what hope is? It's kind of a hard word to put in words. Yeah. Okay. Is hope kind of like you're looking forward to something and you want it or you want it to happen, but it hasn't yet? And so until it happens, you hope it happens? Is that what hope is? Yeah. Yeah. So hope is what we have until the actual thing comes. What are some things you hope for?
Christmas.
Christmas, yeah. Okay, that's one. Right. Do you hope for anything else? You hope for a new house, okay? I guess everybody's a child at some level, so enter in. What do you hope for?
Good health.
A nice present, the present you want? Uh-huh.
I think I know what one of my presents are.
Oh, you do? You think you do. Yeah, it's not as much fun when you know. When you open it, it's not as much fun, is it?
Maybe it's not.
Yeah, but maybe it's not. That's right. So that's what hope is. You hope it is, but maybe it's not. Okay? Well, there are some things that we can hope in, and we can be pretty certain they're going to happen. Like, I hope the sun comes up tomorrow. Pretty good chance it's going to do it, isn't it? I hope Christmas comes on December 25th. It's not going to come on December 24th or 26th, is it? No, it'll be here December 24th. Okay. I hope Jesus returns.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope I'm saved. Yeah, there's lots of things we hope about. But our hope needs to be based on something that is certain and sure for it to become reality and actually happen. Okay? If I hope that the sun doesn't come up tomorrow, that's kind of silly, isn't it? Because we know the sun's going to come up. So when we hope in the Lord, when we hope for our salvation, we can be certain that it's going to happen. And so that hope is a sure hope. That's the kind of hope that God gives us. Anna, would you like to light this Advent candle for us? All right, thank you. So I just want to encourage you children to always put your hope in the Lord, because then your hope will actually happen. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we have you to hope in, and that when we hope in you, our hope is sure. We can depend on it being true because you are faithful and you're unchanging. And your word is true from beginning to end, never questionable, never fails, always faithful, always true. Thank you so very, very much. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. You're welcome to stand, sit, kneel, dance, prostrate yourself, however you'd like to express your worship. Amen. Hear the angel voices. Imagine being on the hillside, campfires burning, cozying up around it. It's all quiet. You hear crickets and you hear, I don't know, whatever animal. You hear the sheep munching on the grass or snoring. All of a sudden, there's an angel choir. Oh, that would get my attention. So who has a testimony that you'd like to share with us tonight, or a prayer concern, pray with you about?
Last January, I went to a youth retreat, and one of my friends, Allie, accepted the Lord, and last week, her mom just accepted Christ.
All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's exciting.
So we're still praying for her dad and her brother.
All right. Daddy and her brother. God is faithful. Yeah. Who else? For the folks on Zoom, Eliza shared how a friend of hers accepted Christ at a youth retreat last January. And just this last week, her mother accepted the Lord. So that was our clapping and celebrating. And then she asked us to pray for that young lady's father and brother for their salvation. And then Wendy was thanking the Lord for bringing people into your life and being with you in times of need and special times, and his faithfulness and his goodness, and being thankful for that. God is awesome. Well, let's pray, and then we'll pray our offertory prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you that you meet with us when we gather in your name. You're present among us, so we welcome you. And we do rejoice with Eliza over the salvation of her friend and her friend's mother. And we join in praying for the salvation of her father and brother. Lord, just continue to bring people into their lives to love them, to encourage them, and to share your faithfulness and your kindness with them so that they can't say no to you. Father, we thank you for the many blessings and encouragement that you've been to Wendy this last week and weeks and months, and ask that you'll continue to bless her, to encourage her, and to be her strength and her shield. And we give you thanks for that. We welcome you to continue to move in our lives and our hearts and in the lives and hearts of people around us. We thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray our offertory prayer. Pardon me. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits,
sales and commissions, favorable settlements,
estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's interesting as we pray that over the years to hear people's testimonies of how different aspects of that prayer showed up in their life that week or that month or different times. Isaiah, are you up to share? Collecting the offering? Are you up? Yes, I'm asking. And will you do it for me? Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices. Which of you children can tell me which verse in the Bible that's based on that song? God so loved us. Sent his son.
John 3:16.
Very good. Now, which of you wants to quote for me? From memory.
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Put me on the spot and you came through, huh? Thank you. Well, this evening, I'd like us to focus on the subject of hope. And my message tonight is more topical than it is following exegetical, following a particular passage of scripture. So I'll be jumping around all over the Bible. So you might rather listen than try to find it and follow, but that's up to you. I can say the addresses of them if you'd like me to, but anyway, we'll see how it goes. See which way I go. Hope. You know, it's a word that we all use and we know what it means. We've experienced it, and sometimes we think worked for us, and sometimes we feel like our hopes have been dashed, that we've been disappointed, and it hasn't come to be. And I think all of us, I say I think that, so there's room for some people to say, oh, I never experienced that. That's okay, good, I'm glad for it. Some of us have hoped that God would do certain things or answer a certain prayer in a particular way, and he didn't. And we feel like he let us down. I have the hope, I have the confidence, I believe, all of those words, that when we end this life and God gives us his perspective on the situations that we've faced in life, that we pray and we ask him to answer and do something, and he didn't do what he wanted us to do, that he'll be able to show us that his response was the best response we could have gotten. And had he done it the way we wanted, our life would be a real mess. So that's a hope that I have. And I hope to get answers to some of those things that I've asked for that didn't work out the way I wanted them to. But we'll see how it goes. Hope is a word, if we go to the dictionary and use a definition of hope, we find that it's desire accompanied by expectation. So it's desire that's accompanied by expectation. It's a desire that we expect to have fulfilled. If we didn't expect it, it would be wishful thinking instead of hope. And that's a very weak form of hope, in my opinion. So our hope is based on something, whether it's based on history, experience, or based on faith in God, and or faith in someone that we trust. And our hope can be a person. It can be someone on which our hopes are centered. So our hope is in the Lord. The Lord is our hope, would be a way to think about it. So those are maybe some dictionary definitions about hope. The scripture is filled with hope, and the word hope shows up many, many times. And I promise you that these pages don't hold all of those references. I won't keep you here until next Sunday when we start over again. There are other things that we need to do and be and places to be, so I'll try to keep this shorter than that. But one of the great hopes throughout the scripture is the hope that God would send a Messiah. That promise started in Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered the world and God cursed the world. One of the curses was to the serpent. And God said to the serpent that he's going to crawl on his belly, he's going to eat dust all his life, and that there would be enmity, there would be bad feelings between the serpent and humanity. And that the serpent would bruise his heel, but that the man would crush the serpent's head. And that was referring, I believe, to Jesus, who on the cross crushed the serpent's head. He defeated sin and death by giving his life in our place. And so from that moment through to the birth of Christ, we have the promise from God of a Messiah, and we have the hope of God's people, primarily Israel in the Old Testament, of a Messiah coming. And so I'd like us to look at some of those promises and some of that Old Testament hope and start there. In Numbers 24, verses 15 to 17, this is the prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor. Now, You may remember Balaam, or you may not, from reading your Bible. But Balaam was a prophet of God who was going, he listened to the wrong king, and he was going out to curse Israel. And on his way, he was riding a donkey, and the donkey stopped in the middle of the road. And he was upset at this donkey for not being obedient and going on, and so he kicked its sides and tried to get it to go, and donkey just would not go. And then the prophet looked, and there stood an angel of the Lord in front of the donkey. And the donkey spoke, I guess it was. And Balaam learned more from his donkey than he had from himself. His donkey had better spiritual insight than he did. And I think sometimes we miss God. He's right in front of us, but we're looking at something else. We're focused on the wrong thing. And he's been talking to us, and he's been trying to give us direction. And we've been riding our donkey instead of listening to God. So now this is the prophecy of one whose eyes see clearly. That means this is after he had his conversation with the donkey, with the angel. The prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. Yeah, his eyes were opened, all right, because he didn't see the angel to start with. But then he did. And I think if an angel showed up, I'd probably be flat on my face too. Prostrate. But who knows? So here's the prophecy. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. That, I believe, is a promise of the Messiah. And Balaam, back thousands of years before Jesus was born, spoke God's word, God's promise to his people, that the Messiah will come. He'll have a scepter. That means he'll rule. He'll be a star, a heavenly being. And stars light the way. They give us direction and guidance in life. If we want to. Now, I'm not talking about astrology here. I'm talking about using a compass and a sextant and looking at a star and getting a heading and saying, okay, this is the way I need to go. That's the kind of direction a star gives us. Not stargazers, not astrology. That's from a different source, and it's not from God. So I don't recommend that in the least. So I'm going to make that clear. And then in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and there are many more prophecies of the Messiah coming than just these two. And you know, I just picked a couple to be representative, promising not to keep you here all night. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. The promise of one to come that will rule over Israel out of the town of Bethlehem, the clans of Judah, the tribe of Judah. So, this is the promise, and we can know that this is Jesus for a number of reasons. One is in John chapter 1, beginning of verse 1, we read about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And we read on, and we find that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I like the way the Message translation says that line. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. He was among us. He was one of us. He was with us. And of course, that's referring to Jesus. And so if he was in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word is Jesus. So Jesus is being referred to in John 1 there as the Word. And so he was from of ancient times. All things were created by him and through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made, that scripture goes on to say. So Jesus was with God in creation, and God spoke the Word, and it happened. And if Jesus is the Word, well, we can put it together. He was very active and present, even in creation at the beginning of time. So the promise was there, and God's people had hope. And for generations and generations, the hope was there. They hoped that a Messiah would come that would keep Israel as the main power in the world, the political power of the world, and the financial capital of the world. And that was their heart's desire. That's what they were looking for. That's what they were focusing on. And every generation hoped they would be the generation when they would get to see the Messiah. And this gave Israel hope. Hope is critically important to life. I took a course in my pastoral training about counseling people that are suicidal. And one of the things I learned there is why people become suicidal. And what I was told is that people become suicidal because they are hopeless. They've lost all hope. They can't see any other option. There's nothing to live for. So hope becomes a critically important aspect of our being, of our life. And without it, we give up. And so God gave a wonderful gift to his people when he gave them hope, gave them something to look forward to. And he gives us hope. He gives us something to look forward to. Even though Jesus was born, even though he's lived and he's died, we still hope for his second coming. We hope for the fulfillment of our salvation at our death. We live in hope. We live in hope of experiencing God's presence and him in his provision and his abundance and his kindness and generosity and mercy and goodness. And I could go on listing attributes of God that are just so incredible that he offers to his people. So this hope carried people through the Old Testament. Just a couple examples of that from the book of Psalms. In Psalm 42, verse 5, the psalmist says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" We've probably been there. We're concerned about the future. We're worried. We're fearful. We don't have answers. We don't see the way out. There does not seem to be a light at the end of our tunnel. In fact, it looks like it's just a brick wall. But here's the psalmist's answer for that. He says, "Put your hope in God." Now he's talking to his own soul. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." I need to put my hope in God, he's saying, "for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." When are we going to praise him? When we see the solution to the issue. Then we're going to sing and dance and shout hallelujah, because we had this impossible obstacle in front of us, and it just dissolved God just removed it. He opened the door so that we could walk through it into the light and into victory. And when that happens, I get excited. And then we just kind of bounce and dance and shout and sing and say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. You're awesome, God. That's hope. The wall's there. But I know my God's on the other side. Or better yet, he's behind me. We're going through that wall. It's fallen down. And the quicker I get to praise, the quicker the thing falls. Jericho tells you that. Marched around the city. And then they shouted hallelujah and the walls fell down. Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. Rest. We live in a very scary world. We live in a fast-paced society. Even though here on the shore it seems to be slower paced, it's still fast-paced. It's not as bad as some other places. The idea of rest. Just to be able to I can relax. My needs are met. There's no urgency. Everything's resolved. And I can do that because my hope comes from him. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Then I can relax and I can rest. As God is those things to me, as he's my rock, my salvation, my fortress, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. If my salvation and my honor depend on God, they're certain. Because God's immovable. God's unchanging. He's consistent. He's there for me. You are me when I say that. He's there for each of us without exception. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Trust in him. Pour out your heart to him. You've got problems, you've got issues, you've got concerns, you've got worries, you've got fears. Tell God about it. Ask him to help you with it. Ask him to take care of it. And then rest. If you remember, when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and they got to the Red Sea. And here they had the Red Sea on one side and the Egyptian army was coming from the other side. Now the Egyptian army was the most powerful army in the world at that time. And they were coming with chariots and horses. And here was a group of people on foot. They didn't have a chance. They were between the proverbial rock and hard place, or the devil in the deep blue sea, literally. And so Moses cries out to the Lord. God tells him what to do. And the people come to Moses and said, what do we do? And he said, be still and see what God does. That's what we can do when we find ourselves in those hard times, in those difficult times. We go to the Lord, we talk to him, and then we watch what he does. Now, here's what he did. He told Moses, he said, Moses, stretch out your rod across the waters. Moses had something to do in this. Sometimes God gives us direction to hold out our rod across the waters so that he can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And then we've done our part. and we can rest and see what comes of it. That's hope. That's putting our trust, our hope in the Lord. And so the people of Israel were waiting for a Messiah. And they waited thousands of years. Generation after generation, parents told children, parents told grandchildren, grandchildren told their children, their grandchildren, and so on. Messiah is coming. You can trust God. He'll be here for you. In Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31, we have these promises regarding hope in the Lord. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Power of the weak. You know, when we feel weak, we don't realize we have power. But this doesn't say he gives them power. He said it increases their power. So even when we're weak, we have power when we're with him. But he'll increase it. He said, even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We hope in the Lord. He gives us the strength. We can't fight these battles on our own. We can't solve our own problems. If we think we can solve our own problems, we're crazy. How many of you have watched Apollo 13, the movie? We got astronauts in space, and they have a problem with their space shuttle. Well, it wasn't a shuttle, their spaceship. And they're losing power. They're dependent on the people on Earth to get them home. Their hope was in NASA. In Houston. And they trusted them and they obeyed them completely and they got home safely. Had they said, we can handle it by ourselves, we're going to do it just a little different than what you say, we wouldn't think of that as a great triumph. It would have been tragedy. It would have been death for those three men. That's our lives. We're dependent on trusting God. We're dependent on obedience to him. We're dependent on listening and following his instructions implicitly to experience victory. Well, let me keep going. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Okay. Look at God's promise. I'm praying for deliverance. I'm praying for my issue to be resolved. And God says, when 70 years are completed, I'll do it. Okay. We have to understand that God knows times and he knows seasons and he knows what's best for everyone. And sometimes to deliver us right away might not be the best for us or for the others involved. And so we don't always get an immediate answer or an immediate response or solution to our issue. Sometimes we continue to pray and keep on praying, and then we see it. Eliza shared about how her friend accepted Christ in January. And now here in November or December, her mother received the Lord. They've been praying for 11 months. And now here it is. And you know, why not do it all at once? I don't know. God knows. And he's got good answers. And we can trust him for it. So when 70 years are completed for Babel, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. See, God has a plan for us. It's a plan for good. It's a plan that gives us hope. And remember what I said earlier about the lack of hope. Hopelessness is what leads to suicide. Therefore, hope leads to life. And life abundantly. The more hope we have, the more alive my hope is, the more vibrant my life is. Because I'm looking forward to something. I have anticipation. I'm excited about the future. And God's promised us a future. With hope and with good. Here's the blessing. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. We can seek God. He's hiding in plain sight. He's, in fact, he's seeking us. Now, that's the picture of God in the scripture, is God that pursues us. And we can go into that, but I won't. But here's the promise, hope, a future, finding him. That's something to live for. That's worth seeking. Now in Luke 2, we begin to see the fulfillment of this promise. The hope becomes realized. We sang about Jesus' birth tonight and the shepherds on the hillside. And this happened in the temple 8 days after Jesus was born. In Luke 2, beginning at verse 26, it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Let me translate that into English. He was waiting for the Messiah to come, to be born. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, have him circumcised, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, picture this. Simeon's an old man by now. And here comes this couple with a baby to be circumcised. How many Jewish parents brought their sons to the temple to be circumcised in his lifetime while he was there and he was watching them come in? Tens, hundreds, thousands? Yeah, tens of thousands maybe? I don't know the number. The Bible doesn't tell us. But this one was different to him. This one, he went to the parents, he took the baby in his arms. And then he said, he took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. His tunnel just opened up. His block wall just fell down. A light shone through. And there was Jesus. And he praised God. I've seen it, Lord. My life's fulfilled. This was my hope. This is what I was living for, to be able to see and embrace the Messiah. That's our purpose in life. To come to the point where we see and embrace Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the sent one. The Holy One of God, the one we read about in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus. Wow, that gets exciting. 1 Peter 1:3-4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Romans 8:22-24. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. Salvation brings hope. And our hope is what causes us to look for the Savior until we find him. And when we find him, it's exciting. I'm going to quit there. I've got some more scriptures. That's what it's about. Living in hope. Finding Jesus. The fulfillment of that hope. And then real hope kicks in. Because the more of Jesus we experience, the more we realize there's just no end to experiencing him. He has more for us. That's why we sang, you satisfy us with hunger for more. That seems redundant, that seems stupid, but it's true. The more you get, the more you want. Until we just become consumed with the presence of God and the desire for more. Of the presence of God. And it's worth whatever we think it might cost us. Oh boy. We sing a song about I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. That's what God offers. Give me your junk. Give me your pain. I've got joy, I've got hope, I've got life, and it's for you. Father, we want it. We want everything you have for us. Tonight, our hope, my hope, is that each of us come to know you better. That each of us come to know you as Savior and Lord, but also as friend, as companion, as counselor, as helper, as lover. Come, Holy Spirit. Move among us, move in our hearts. Let us taste more of you. More of the Father, more of the Lord Jesus. Quench our hunger and our thirst, but that we always yearn for more. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week. Thank you for coming today.